Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
Tuesday, March 18th, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, digiscoping and more. Welcome back to another digital story. I have some fun stuff for you. Spring is in the air. Now, that doesn't mean that everywhere in the world it's spring right now, but out here in San Francisco, we're starting to feel it a little bit. And things have been coming up about shooting outdoors and wandering outside and capturing some of this good stuff. So I have a few tips today for wandering out into the world and getting some good shots. Three things that I want to talk about. The first one is going to be called, it is called digiscoping. And this is a really fun technique to extend your reach with your camera when your telephoto lens doesn't quite go the distance you want. And then I've got a couple stabilization tips using unique tools to hold that camera steady when you are using just a regular telephoto lens. I'm going to cover all that today. We're going to do a little virtual camera club business, and then we're going to go outside and take some shots. So first, I want to start with something called digiscoping. Now, this actually came up because over in the public group, the Digital Story public group on Flickr, someone asked about, how do I prepare to go out and take wildlife shots of birds? I have a trip coming up, and any tips that you all might have would be appreciated. And a couple members chimed in with some really good stuff, and it reminded me of actually one of my favorite tips for shooting birds. And basically what digiscoping is that it's using a spotting scope, and then I'm also going to talk about binoculars too, but using a spotting scope with your compact camera to suddenly give you tremendous reach. Now, for guys like me, I've never been someone that has invested in, you know, really heavy-duty telephoto glass. I have my favorite lens, my 70 to 200, which is just a great lens for portraits and general work. I have a 70 to 300 image stabilized telephoto that I like a lot. But then after that, that's about it. I don't have, you know, the 400 or the 600 ginormous telephotos because I just wouldn't use them enough. It's not a great investment for me. That doesn't mean there aren't times when I don't want more reach. You know, when I'm out in the wild or somewhere and I really want to shoot something that's far away. And so back when I was working on my book, Digital Photography Hacks, I ran across this technique called digiscoping. And this is very cool stuff. It's a lot of fun. And it's something that you can do in your backyard or you can do out in the middle of nowhere, anywhere that you can carry a spotting scope in your camera. And the way that it works is that you get a regular spotting scope. Now, obviously, the nicer the spotting scope, probably the more options that you have, and definitely the brighter the spotting scope, things will go easier. And what I mean by brighter, you know, that front objective lens, you know, usually the bigger the lens in front, the brighter your scope, which means more light comes through the scope, which means it's easier to take pictures, easier to focus, easier to do just about everything except carry it. You know, obviously the brighter they are is like telephoto lenses. The brighter they are, also the bigger they are. But anyway, let's say any spotting scope that you can get your hands on, or monoscope, or basically anything that magnifies. And the first trick is that you have to find a way to mount it to a tripod. Now, spotting scopes always come with a mount, and so this is easy. However, if you're rigging something up yourself, then the first challenge you have is attaching the scope to a tripod, because it needs to be steady. And we know that because whenever we increase magnification while we're shooting, we're also increasing magnification for camera movement. So any little bit of shake becomes big shake with these huge magnifications. Now, once you've figured out how to attach your spotting scope or whatever you happen to be using to a tripod, then the next thing is attaching the camera to the scope itself. And believe it or not, what works best for this sort of thing are nice, light, compact cameras that have a lens that looks like a regular lens that comes out. Because what you basically do is you take the front of the lens from your camera and push it up against the viewing lens in the spotting scope, and you take a picture. I mean, that's the short version of it. And the way that you do that a lot of times is that you create some sort of collar that goes from the spotting scope eyepiece to the compact camera lens, so that it's dark and so that you don't get light coming in from the side, and so also that you can keep things aligned. Now, what's really fun about this tip is that I have the PDF version of it from the book, Digital Photography Hacks, and I have a link to it. I put it on the Digital Story a while back, but it might be a while since any of you looked at that, or if you're relatively new to our Virtual Camera Club, if you've only been hanging out for a year or so, then you may not have even seen it at all. So I have a PDF, so I will link to that PDF in the show notes, so you can go right there and you can see how this works. But a lot of times what I do is I use something like an UltraPod, which is a compact tripod, and basically mount the compact camera to the UltraPod, and then use gaffer's tape to mount the UltraPod to the barrel of the spotting scope, and then I can align the camera so that it's fairly straight into the eyepiece, lock that down with the ball head on the UltraPod, and then maybe just have a little collar around both the eyepiece and the lens so that light doesn't come in, and boom, suddenly I'm in business. I'm in, actually big time business. For focusing, where I will usually start is I'll set the camera to infinity focus. I don't always stay there, but it's a good starting point. So you just lock it down to infinity focus so it doesn't have to do a lot of hunting around. When you set your compact camera to infinity, then it just goes boom, it sets it that one place. And then that way when you press the shutter, it doesn't try to autofocus, which can be problematic when you're digiscoping. And then I use the focusing on the spotting scope to fine-tune the focus. And when you first set this up, it'll be, you'll look through there and it'll be really ugly, right? Because it'll be just like all out of whack. So it takes a couple minutes to sort of, figure out what works best with your combination. And then, of course, you're looking at the LCD screen on the camera as you begin to work the focus on the spotting scope. And when you see what you like, then you're in business. Now, you may have a little bit of vignetting, depending on what kind of rig you have set up. And that just simply means where it might look like you're looking through a tube, where the edges are dark on the frame on your camera. These days in particular, I don't really see that as a problem. When we first started digiscoping, we were doing it with 3 and 4 megapixel compacts. And so then you would lose more pixels to vignetting. And by the time you cropped out the shot that you want, you didn't have a whole lot of resolution. What's cool now is that our compacts are 6 and 8 and 10, sometimes even 12 megapixels, right? So we have a little bit of vignetting. Not too worried about that. You can still crop out the area that you like, and you have lots of resolution to make a nice print, possibly up to 8 by 10 or so, depending on what camera you have. So the vignetting isn't the issue today that it used to be, but you probably will have some, because you don't, this is a rig, right? This is not manufactured. Now, speaking of the manufacturer stuff, there are, Nikon in particular, and I think I ran a piece on this. I'm going to check right here. I'm online. Yeah, Nikon actually created a kit. They have a Digiscope package, and it complements their Pro Digiscope. So this is really nice. I'll put a link to this on the Digital Story too. I mean, this is if you really want to go whole hog, because you get a really nice scope. I mean, I'm looking at this thing right now. It's just absolutely beautiful. Last year, this scope ran around $730 US. and then you get the kit. And of course, the kit's really nice because if you use a Nikon camera, then the whole thing just mounts, like, you know, with machine threads and stuff, and you know, you're really styling. You've moved out of hacking and into, you know, the luxury photography realm here. But it's kind of cool, and you should take a look at it. And these scopes look really terrific. That's not so much, you know, what I'm talking about here. It's great. And if you're a serious, you know, birder, then it might be something you want to look into. But I think for us casual shooters, you know, finding any sort of spotting scope and mounting it to a tripod and getting our camera somehow hooked to it, that adventure is actually half the fun, because, you know, I'm not going to be out shooting birds every weekend like those that are very serious about it. Now, if you don't have a spotting scope, you can still do this if you have a good pair of binoculars. And a lot of photographers have good binoculars because, you know, they're helpful for other things too. And again, the trick is you have to find a way to mount your binoculars to the tripod. And a lot of binoculars actually have accessory tripod mounts. And by the way, this is something that's kind of nice to have anyway, because if you're using a binocular, especially if you're using it for night viewing of the sky, you know, and you really like, I tell you, sometimes looking at a nice clear sky through binoculars is more fun than a telescope, because you get that wider view, you still get magnification, you still see a lot of stuff. But, you know, holding them, for minutes or sometimes even hours on end can be tiring. So having binoculars that you can mount to a tripod is a good thing anyway. And then if you want to hook your camera to them, then it's even better, because, you know, binoculars on the tripod, camera to the binoculars, and suddenly you're back in digiscoping business. So this is just a whole lot of fun, and you can use it for all sorts of stuff. I have a sample shot that goes with this PDF that you can get over in the show notes that shows three shots, and it was done by a friend of mine, Terry Miller. And the first shot is just the camera with the zoom extended all the way out. I think it's a Nikon Coolpix. And then the second shot is of a bird feeder, a bird feeding at the bird feeder. And then the second shot is with binoculars. And then the third shot is with a spotting scope. And you can really see the difference in all three of them. So depending on what your needs are, you can kind of figure out, you know, which rig you need to start working on. So digiscoping, it's a lot of fun, and you can use it if you have a home bird feeder. It's really cool because, you know, you can set the whole rig up in the house and shoot out at it while, you know, on Sunday morning while in your slippers and sipping a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. And I know it feels a little bit like cheating, but if you come away with a great shot, all the better, right? What a nice way to spend your Sunday morning getting great bird shots while standing there in your slippers and not even having to go out into the cold. But it's something, if you have the tools around the house, if you have some gaffer's tape, if you have, you know, cardboard tubes, if you have a scope and a compact camera and some way to hook them all together, give digiscoping a try. I think you'll have a lot of fun with it. Now, another thing that I want to talk about, and this is another toy that I like a lot. And so I like to go hiking. I love day hiking in particular. I used to backpack a lot. I don't anymore because in my advanced years, sleeping on the ground has lost a little bit of its allure. When I was 22, it didn't quite seem as hard as it does these days. But I still love day hiking a lot. And I'll take my VW Vanagon. I have a 1990 VW Vanagon. It's called the Weekender. And it's really cool. So it has, inside it has a table that comes up, and it'll seat five in the middle area, what I call the dining room. And they face each other, right? So the seats face each other. And so it's, you know, you can hang out in there and have the big slider open and have a nice lunch and stuff, and then take off for, when the light starts going down, take off for another day hike. And then it also has a bed that folds out, queen-size bed. So more and more what I do these days is I camp in the van again, and then I take day hikes. And that's, you know, the current version of my outdoor activities. So, but I don't like to carry a whole lot of stuff when I go day hiking. I like to really enjoy it and not be, you know, too burdened down. And so a lot of times, even these days, I won't carry a full-size tripod, but I do like having some support. And sometimes, even as much as I love the GorillaPods, they're not perfect for every situation. So I've been carrying a monopod that I use sort of as a walking stick. And that's really great because if I'm shooting with telephoto lens, a monopod helps a lot. However, there are times when I want the monopod to be a tripod. And of course, it's not. It's only got one leg, not three. So Bogan makes this really cool thing. And I have one. I've been using it for years. It's getting all good and worn in looking now. But it's called a monopod support bracket. And this thing's really wild. What it is, it's a ball head with a bracket. And so you take off your existing ball head on your monopod, and you screw this one on. And so then you have a regular ball head, and you can use your monopod the way that you always do. But then it has this bracket that, you know, is up flush against the monopod while you're walking, but then swings out, and you can tighten it down. It swings out these different angles, and it creates a tripod, basically. And so the bracket's not that high. It's only probably about, you know, 12 inches. So you end up, you know, leaning the monopod on a rock or a log, or you can do it on the ground, wherever. And then you have this ball head, and you can, it's very steady, and you can shoot in all sorts of situations. But yet all you have to do is carry around a monopod and not a full-blown tripod. And believe me, it is really nice. I've taken some great shots. What I use it for mainly, I love shooting water shots, slow water shots. So that's where I really want a tripod because, you know, I have shutter speeds of 1 second or 2 seconds or sometimes even longer, depending on what the shot is. So with the monopod support bracket, then I can have my monopod, I see water, I find a nice rock, I set up the bracket, I line up the shot, and then the camera is as steady as a rock, take my shots, and then boom, I just fold it back up, and I have monopod, and I'm walking down the trail looking for the next shot. No burden at all, and come away with really, really good stuff. By the way, if you want to find out more information about that, I looked up, the current price on it is $60 US, which is not bad because you get the ball head too, right? So it's a ball head and the bracket all together. And I found it at boganimaging.us. Of course, you know, we have listeners all over the world. So, you know, you might want to look up your local Bogan or Manfrotto site. But I found my particular one at www.boganimaging.us and just look for monopod support bracket. Now, if you like this sort of a monopod idea, but a regular monopod is still kind of too bulky for you, not comfortable enough while you're hiking and so forth, I have one more tip, and I have one of these too. It's a Leica walking stick. But it has a tripod thread on the top of it. And the way that they do this is really clever. So you have this nice, light, super light walking sticks. And if you've ever used these, they're really great. They're sort of like telescopic ski poles. You know, they have that same kind of material, and they're very light. And they have a good tip at the bottom. They have both the rubber tip, and then you can take it off, unscrew that, and you have a nice spike tip. And if you like walking with a walking stick, these things are a pleasure. They have a really comfortable grip and a nice little wrist strap. So if you're in kind of, you know, rugged terrain and you slip or something, then you won't lose your walking stick because you have it strapped to you, to your wrist. And then what they did is they put a very decorative, a very handsome wood knob on the top. That looks really good. It looks great with a walking stick. And if you weren't a photographer, you wouldn't think twice about that. It's there just for that reason, to look good. But what's nice about the camera tripod or the camera monopod models is then that knob screws off, right? And then what you have is you have that thread sticking up from the top of the walking stick that you can screw your camera into. And especially if you have a light digital SLR or a compact camera, this works really nicely, really nicely. So you have your super modern high-tech walking stick, and you have in a pinch a monopod too. Now the main drawback of this is, of course, that you don't have a ball head on top, so that you actually have to, you know, move your monopod, you know, instead of adjusting the camera using the ball head. Not huge problem most of the time, but every now and then, you know, I find myself, you know, kind of configured in awkward positions because of this. But again, it's all about the trade-off, right? It's all about, well, what am I in the mood for today? Do I want a heavier monopod? Do I want to carry a full tripod? Or do I just want to go out and have a nice walk, you know, with my knapsack, with a compact in it, and maybe a walking stick? And then that way, if I do see something, I still have, especially when the light starts to get low, I have a way to steady the camera. Now, of course, if you wanted, you could, you know, carry a little ball head in your day pack too. And if you really wanted to get serious, then, you know, you could just screw that on there. I don't know if it starts to defeat the purpose after a while or not, but, you know, always an option as you think about it. So as you're getting ready to hit the trail and go out and take some shots, think about, you know, having some fun too, and not just, you know, shooting the way that you always do. You know, digiscoping. And, you know, by the way, on digiscoping, I didn't mention in the first segment I was talking about, but you can literally just hold the scope and hold the camera up to it and shoot away, you know. And sometimes you might get lucky and get a good shot. So if you don't even want to do the whole rig, just try, you know, pushing those two up against each other. Make sure, though, that, you know, that you protect your lenses, right? Don't be, you know, make sure that glass isn't protruding anywhere where it could possibly grind on something. So you don't want to scratch anything, so be careful that way. But, you know, you can just, you know, hand-hold this sort of thing. The monopod support bracket by Bogan, very fun, very cool, very versatile. And then, of course, if you really like going light and in style, then you might want to take a look at the walking sticks that have the tripod screw mount on top. Now on to a little virtual camera club business. First thing, Digital Photography Companion. I've been talking a lot about it lately because the book is printed and we're still waiting for it to come into the channels. I know I got some mail from folks last week that had pre-ordered on Amazon, and Amazon sent them a note and said, well, do you still want to order this? It's not in yet. Which I hate it when they do that. And the way that whole thing works is that the publisher sets a date that they think Amazon's going to get it. And then, you know, Amazon, you know, starts taking pre-orders, you know, a couple months before the book's actually out. And then if it gets to that date and Amazon doesn't have the books yet, which they rarely do, because things never work the way they're supposed to. And if the pre-order is older than 30 days, then they'll send out a note saying, you know, we promise that, you know, we keep you posted about this stuff. Do you still want to order the book? And you just, you know, say, yes, I still want it. And I think the book is actually going to be in this week. I was just checking it right now. Let's see here. And I think the at Amazon, I got it pulled up, clicking away here with my, what sounds like a really noisy mouse today. I don't know. It's maybe the is resonating here. But yeah, at the moment here, they still have us pre-order, but I know the books are in their warehouse, so it's just a matter of them, you know, logging those bad boys in and start shipping them out. So those of you that have ordered already, you should be getting them soon. If you listen to this and you haven't ordered yet, and if you can get your order in on Amazon, and there's a link on the digital story that will take you right to the page. If you just go to the companion page on digital story, there's a big order now, and you can click on it. If you happen to slide in while Amazon still has pre-ordered this item today, I think you get an extra 5% off the book. So right now, U.S., it's $16.49. I'm assuming that that'll go up 5% once the book comes in, which not huge. It'll take it up to about $17 or so. So anyway, we're pretty excited about that. And there was a lot of press releases went out last week and were picked up. And you probably saw one. And I tried to list some of them on the digital story. And then another cool thing happened. So, you know, the How I Did It feature on the digital story, which is actually part of the whole companion website where we extend, you know, the book by having users contribute their techniques. So I did one on the lunar eclipse last week because one of our one of our readers just really submitted just a super Marty German did a really nice three-shot montage of the eclipse, and he was talking about it and how he did it and everything, and I thought it was just a terrific how he did it. So, you know, we published it up, and he, you know, he wrote a nice piece to go with it. And he mentioned aperture near the end of the piece, that he used aperture to do the edit. He actually used which is a lot of people are doing right now, the downloaded the demo and then played with the tools, because you get a 30-day full working demo. Played with the tools. He actually looked at some of my video on lynda.com. So he, you know, when he was talking about how he processed the image, he was talking about that. Well, Apple saw that, and so then they put it on their start page and their hot news page, and so then suddenly Digital Story and Marty was getting a lot of airtime, and boy, you know, I looked at my stats, you know, and I go, what the heck is going on here? And I actually saw the stats before I knew that we were on the start page, and figuring either I'm getting hit really heavy by spam this week or something good is happening. And fortunately, it was something good, and in fact, it was really something great. So it gave us all a lot of airtime, all of us that contribute to the site. A lot of people came to see Marty's piece and then wandered around a bit. So that was kind of fun. I just wanted to pass that along. I love it when stuff like that happens. I love it when what we're doing gets noticed by the rest of the world and embraced very nicely by the rest of the world. So that's that. And I mentioned the Flickr public group earlier in the show. And I get a lot of my ideas now, and especially for how I did it, because the way how I did it usually works. I'll see a shot I really like, and then I'll ask them, you know, how did you do it, and can I use this? Although you can submit pieces yourself, too. But where I go to look for those shots is in the Flickr, our Digital Story public group on Flickr. And that's where I actually found Marty's piece. So if you haven't been over there, if you're not a part of it, it's a really fun public group. And we have a discussion forum on there also, which I enjoy a lot. So take a look at that if you haven't gone over there. Grab shots are looking good, and appreciate all the grab shots that are coming in. Thank you very much. And I think, I should mention our sponsors, our, you know, fabulous sponsors, our the best sponsors in the world, Low Pro and Photomagico by Boinks, and also ExpoDisc by Expo Imaging. And they all have tiles on the Digital Story, which you can click on and go over to their sites, and quality products. And I'm talking to a new sponsor right now, and I hope they go for it, because if they do, it's going to be goodies for us. So, and I'm trying to set up a meeting with Low Pro too. What I want to do is get us, what I want to do is have a bag of the month, and then we get a discount code for Digital Story members, and we can go over to their site, use a discount code, not only for the bag of the month, but I'm hoping for anything. So, I'm hoping to have a meeting about that this week. So, I'll keep you posted on that. All right. Well, I think that's enough trouble for one day. And, try some of this stuff and, come back next week. I'll have more interesting things to say. If you haven't ordered your copy of Digital Photography Companion, I'd really appreciate if you did it so soon, because that is our official manual for the Virtual Camera Club. And go take some great shots. Thanks so much for coming by. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.